This episode of The Instance is brought to you by Squarespace at squarespace.com. Build a website simply, easily, and greatly. Yeah, that's a word. By going to squarespace.com and getting the free trial. After that, if you decide to stay, use the code INSTANCE at checkout and save 10%. That's squarespace.com and the code INSTANCE. Build it beautiful. And by Doghouse Systems at doghousesystems.com. I've been talking about these guys since 2009, and I still love them. If you want a rig that runs your games the best way possible, including World of Warcraft, and get a good deal and the best service ever, go to doghousesystems.com. Use the code FROGPANTS at checkout for a good deal. That's doghousesystems.com and the code FROGPANTS.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Instance episode 465. I'm Scott Johnson with Patrick. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. Terpster's here. Terpster, hello.
Hello, how's it going?
It's going. And Dills is here.
Hello, how's it going?
Hello. Look at everybody. Man, full house, folks. We did this last time we were all together, I guess. We were all together.
It was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it was. It was just Dills and I holding down the fart last week.
It was.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful fart.
We had.
And you did an amazing job at it. It was all, you know, spangled stars banner, how do you say it, and eagles.
Yes, spangled stars banner. That's exactly right.
Look, America has a lot to be proud of these days.
Yeah.
And me and Scott just wanted to represent that. Yeah. And why are you laughing?
I don't know if you've been watching the news.
We have the two best candidates. We have the best everything. We have the best words.
Sure.
All right, I'm gonna stop right there.
Yeah, if you haven't been following things over here, I think the best thing that happened last week was Dills and I hosting the show. So
probably. Yeah.
I was a bit worried though, because there was that weird bit you left on at the end where you started talking about how like you're such a big podcaster. I just go up and I just kiss the guys. You know, they just love it. They say, I'm huge. People look at me and they say, hey, it's Johnson. I'm huge. I just kissed him, grab him right by the podcast.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I have to say something. I have, now that you've outed Scott, I have to come forward and admit that that is kind of how I got my start in podcasting. Mm-hmm. I was grabbed by the Johnson.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, I enjoyed it, so I don't know what that says.
But
about
you know,
me.
Patrick, you were asking for it by sending in all those segments.
That's
man.
Right.
So,
yeah, man, you kept going on about it.
That's my
but
defense.
But anyway, wow, what a week in
politics.
Warcraft,
good stuff. Oh yeah, Warcraft's been great, actually, a whole lot of fun. I know there's been on all sides stuff. I've been raiding and mythicking and leveling a new character and gearing him up. And Terpster was absolutely right.
Have you done the whole Emerald Nightmare? Have you done Xavius and stuff?
We're two bosses down as of Wednesday is all. It took us 2 hours to do that, and I assume we'll just start over again on Sunday. But that's as far as we got. So we killed the bear. What's the name of the bear? Forgot the name of the bear.
Ursoc.
Yeah. Him and the dragon, the smoke dragon at the beginning. I forgot her name too.
Just, I love professional broadcaster Scott Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, wow.
I can't remember names. It's hard for me, especially
good.
These Warcraft names.
The dragon, I don't really remember their name either. But
no, I don't really.
The bear is kind of a fixture of the WoW lore, and it's been around forever. Ursoc is like, especially if you've been playing a druid. This is a betrayal of your love of druidism, Scott.
Well, my love of druidism is only about a millimeter thick.
It's a bit
so
too
far.
New.
It's fleeting.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question, Scott. Did you guys bloodlust at the end of Ursoc or at the beginning?
Oh. At the end of Ursoc, I believe.
Good. Okay, you guys are doing it right. Every time I get into it, into a pug or an LFR, they're like, bloodlust at the beginning. I'm like, dude, he's doing 70% extra damage at the end. Can we wait so the healers can have some extra, you know? Yeah. But anyway.
What happened to that?
So people out there, tip.
Also,
damage builds over time, bloodlust at the end.
Yeah, and you don't have to run way over into the path of his charge. You can just get into his little hitbox there before he does it. And then you're fine. Then you're fine.
It's not that big of a deal, no.
Yeah. It's fun, though. We had a good time. That's cool. That's a cool place. I'm really sick of Malfurion, though. He's just driving me nuts.
I love Malfurion. It's a great fight. As a tank, it's actually one of the more fun encounters.
I wish he'd go back to bed.
To be honest.
So, so what a cool thing. So you get that, you can complete that quest where you can skip straight to Malfurion.
Yeah.
I just think that's a really cool thing to add to the game. So you haven't got to clear the dragons and stuff to open up the lotus or whatever the helicate is in the middle. I think that's a really cool thing. Has Blizzard, have they ever done that in the past? And I just haven't, you know.
It's like it's like a weird combination of, I don't know, it's like Violet Hold meets a normal raid in a weird way. Like you've kind of got this hub world thing, sprocket thing in the middle, and you get to kind of pick and choose. I guess all these things have wings, but this one just feels different. I don't know. I can't explain it, but I like it. And I like his, you know, him sitting around focusing nature shit on a ball is real great. And having him.
I'm sure it's helping.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's helping.
Whining and complaining about everything.
I'll say this, though. I got like I was excited about the little portal effect the first couple times. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just kind of sick of the.
Oh, the big photo you walk
portaling
into.
Through. Yeah. But it is a really cool idea, you know, going through all of these really familiar zones to us, but they're kind of like nightmare versions. It's pretty fun for an introductory raid. I'm really, really happy with it.
Yeah.
And I haven't been able to raid with you guys yet, but I have gotten into a few pugs and I think I've actually downed about 5 or 6 bosses now, mostly because I was getting carried. Mm. But
well, you're further along than Fert, then you're doing great.
Well, not me. I wouldn't say I had much to do with it. I think the first time I went in, I was still like 8-12 item level or something like that. And everyone was like, really? We're inviting this guy?
Yeah.
But
he's kind of a big deal. Don't worry about it.
I was just like, I'll do. Here's what I'll do for you guys. I won't die. Like, I'll stay out of poop. I won't do much damage.
That's not bad. That's a decent commitment for, you know, hunters aren't always known for getting out of the poop. So well done. It's a good time. We're hoping for obviously more progression. I think I maybe got one drop, 850 trinket or something. I don't remember on Wednesday.
Did you guys do Withered Gym?
Yes, Withered Gym. Let's talk about
anybody be near
two
me
weeks in a row.
Yeah, let's hooray! Talk. Let's talk about two weeks of Withered Gym, Patrick.
It's the best thing ever. It's the best thing ever. So I've got both the drops I needed off him.
Yeah,
you know, sequentially now. I got the ring. I got the trinket. They're 860. Good times are coming. I'm done now. I don't want to roll the die.
You'll never see him again.
Yeah. Exactly. He was dropping 1,000 resources this week and artifact power last week, and I'm just like, you know what, Jim? I think we've done all we can do.
I've got I got the artifact power and I got the resources, and yet to get anything off of him I need. So no 860 drops for me from Withered Jim yet. So I still have to.
He's a horrible, horrible fight.
Yeah.
On my paladin, I ended up tanking him because that just happens, and I'll die, and he'll be on like 15%, and I'll think, okay, I'm gonna run back. I'm gonna try and I'm gonna try and help, try and do some more. But obviously, I run back and I get there, and he's dead, and so I don't get any loot, and so then I gotta do it all over again. I've got to find a new group. You know, it's whereas if I just lay dead in front of him, I get the quest complete, I get the loot. But for trying to be a good citizen, trying to go out there and help a bit more, I was punished.
Hold on. I thought this week with Withered Jim that got changed, or maybe it was always this way. But I thought if you died during that fight or you died during his death, you get no loot. Isn't that true? Because we had a guy on our team. We went in and there were the pre-made, and he did not get loot from Withered Jim.
He didn't get loot. And he died as well.
And he died. Well, he died right before Withered Jim died, and no drop for him or anyone else who died during that part of it. Now, if he came back and was running back and was
this week I died and didn't release, and I got the drop, whereas last week I died and released and didn't get it. But who knows? Yeah.
Now I'm wondering, because I don't know why he didn't get it then, because he was like so ticked. It was Manny Dills. He was like, damn it. And he died, and we had been warned that you may not be getting anything if you die. During his death, during Withered Jim's death, and he died and didn't get a thing. So I don't know. Oops. Yeah, it was a bummer because it took forever to take him down. He's super irritating. Can't even freaking see him. Dummies that walked in there and just took part in this thing didn't realize which gym was the right gym. So they're all fighting all the ghosty gyms.
But the thing is, so what I managed to do last time, because they fix his health so that if he resets, his health doesn't. Mm-hmm. And so actually what you can do with those extra dummy gyms is you can taunt them out of the cave and they despawn, and you can even bring him out. He just resets back to where he is, but his health stays as it is.
Oh.
So you can actually kind of completely choose the encounter. Now, I don't know if that's meant to be, if that's a bug or a feature, but I had a good time.
Yeah, well, that sounds all right.
Pretty sure that would be a bug. But,
well, I don't know. I don't know if it's a tactic. I quite, because they changed it because of how broken it was as a thing. Like when we did it the first week, he kept resetting, kept going out the cave. Everyone was just like, ah. So they said, okay, fine. If he resets, he keeps his health at where he was, you know, until he dies, then he goes back to full. But obviously, I find it a really useful way to deal with those ants. So you get an off tank to just take him out the cave. And then once you're out of that magical barrier, they disappear. I think it works. I like it.
Okay. So
I think as a hunter, you can actually stand, or as a, any ranged, you can actually stand just outside of the field.
Oh really? What
damage?
And,
yeah.
Oh wow!
Oh yeah, no, I hardly I hardly took any damage. If, as long as I stayed out of the swirling whatever.
But no,
I'm
you,
saying
you
don't
you
get the 90%
without the 90% loss. Yeah.
Oh, I like, see.
You bring him near the like as far to the entrance edge as you can, and then the DPS stands outside of that field.
Oh weird!
So I'm not sure if that's supposed to still work either. That might have been fixed.
Yeah.
But you just completely melt him then. Or is it?
Yeah, he just goes down real fast.
So
that's amazing.
So wait, maybe that's why they had him for 2 weeks, because they tweaked it or something, you know, and did.
No, they did say it was a bug. They mentioned it was a bug, but they didn't want to take him away after some people had done it and others didn't, because it would have felt horrible for everyone.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. So, but they don't give us. There's no schedule to these world bosses. They just tell us every week who's coming.
No,
right?
There's a rotation, but it is, and I think it's, you know, programmed
pretty fluid, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I think we're meant to get a different one cycling through till we've got them all, and then we go back through again.
Yeah,
there's a meta achievement to get more dudes and, you know, kill them. Jim is actually not part of the meta achievement because he's such a pain in the ass that he's not one of the ones to you know, kill all the world bosses.
I love that he exists. What we need to do, a lore episode just on Withered Jim and his backstory. I don't know what that would be.
I mean, even
I don't
is
think
it
there's
Jim,
a lot of it.
Or is it Jim?
Jim.
I
don't
know.
You just make it up.
That's all we did on the last one, to be honest with you. We lucked out in that a lot of people just, you know, took our word for it.
Yeah, don't really know
liked
more.
It. Like, exactly. Oh, this Sargeras. I didn't know that thing about Sargeras.
It was pretty well put together, I have to say. It was believable.
Yeah.
So,
it was, exactly.
Good job.
You can't make it, fake it. That's what we say. But anyway, we should talk about, we got big news.
Yeah, there's
big
news, there's stuff.
Oh, hey, wait. Oh, I also wanted to say, I was super busy this week, but last week I took Turfstar's advice and went to Skirmish a little bit. And I went to do the entire quest, like you had to win 10 of them. I did a few more and it was super fun. And I didn't, you know, I don't think I would have done it if you guys hadn't talked about it. And I'm really thankful I did. So,
what's your PvP talent now? What's your kind of your honor level? Have you got to 10?
Well, yeah, I got to 10. Yeah, I got to 10, so I have all of the first tier. It went pretty fast.
Because the thing is 'cause you were complaining at the time about getting like owned in the real world. Have you found that you're more gank resistant now?
No, I haven't played in the real world enough PlayStation VR getting a hold of me in the WoW world enough. And I tried it once and I still couldn't get it to work when I thought it should have. But okay. I don't know. I must be the one doing it wrong. There is something weird going on with me. In game terms, I mean, in real world terms as well. But
confirmed on Twitter.
So, but the thing is, I found, so for example, I got ganked by a rogue the other day, and he didn't know that I had, you know, I had the honor talents, brother. And so, like, I was laying down my consecration, it kept interrupting, you know, it kept freeing me from any of his crowd control and stuns and all the rest.
Yeah.
And so, this guy, he thought he picked an easy target, but nuh-uh. You know, it was game time.
Well, already you're a paladin, so it's not like a rogue has the drop on you. It's, you know, on a
Patrick, don't diminish.
I'm sorry.
My achievement.
I meant
okay.
Incredible.
Exactly. Oh, what a play of the game. Yes, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
basically,
you.
I would vote for you at the end of that match. Yeah.
I was hoping you were going to say anyway. So I took your advice. I did some skirmishes. I qualified for the American regionals. I don't know. I didn't even know I was doing it. I was just playing, and now I'm at BlizzCon. Woo!
By the way, speaking of that, big grats to the PvP team, Holinka, which we did feature part of that interview from Rally Point on the show earlier this week on this feed. Talked a bit about this, but they had a huge increase in both viewership and interest in the regionals and in some of the finals and stuff leading up to BlizzCon for arena play. And it sounds to me like they're not even entirely sure why, but maybe it just takes 11 years and some really cool changes to PvP and, I don't know, some daring changes in this expansion, you could argue.
They're also offering some loot if you watched it.
Yeah, well, no, that's true. That's true.
So I mean, that's not a bad way to go about it, to be honest.
Yeah, I wonder how much of that got sustained, like, or what the minimum time you had to watch it was.
People who tuned in just for that and then stuck around because they found it interesting.
Yeah, I wonder about that.
You know, the thing is that the WoW Arena is a really hard thing to properly showcase. Mm-hmm. There's so much going on that's really nuanced, you know. And I think one of the things that may have helped quite a bit is the fact that they have pared down so many abilities. Mm-hmm. Because before, you were watching and there's guys with, you know, 25 abilities that they may or may not be using at any moment. Mm-hmm. And now you really don't have to think about all of that anymore. So you can really concentrate on the ones that really matter. Like, you know, when big cooldowns are used and things like that, rather than just random little things that we don't really catch and aren't going to ever be caught, right, as a viewer. So
That's
definitely possible that the whole simplification of the game, I'm using air quotes right now, you can't see, but the simplification of the game makes it much more palatable for someone who's not familiar with Arena, right?
Yeah, I agree. Plus, there's a part of that I still think is the biggest part of it that nobody seems to be talking about too much, but this expansion made it a much easier idea for people who don't normally want to dabble in PvP, like Patrick, for example, or except he's on a PvP server, but you know what I mean.
Well, yeah, I used to PvP all the time. I used to be a big, huge, but
yeah.
Yeah.
You're a bad example.
It's been 12 years. At some point, I experienced with PvP. I experimented. I was in college. Mm-hmm. It was fine. Everyone was
doing it.
Yeah. And I'm not ashamed to admit I liked it.
Sure.
It's just it's not the first thing I gravitate to when I play WoW, so I don't do it as much when I don't have a lot of time.
Right. But now the game comes to you and says, "Hey, you've got this PvE life that you're really proud of and you've got gear for and you're progressing and you're doing all this neat stuff. What if in Legion now you could just carry that right over to a place you don't spend much time in without having to worry about it, without having to grind out a bunch of separate gear?" I think that makes a ginormous difference in people's interest level because you're not putting up this giant wall.
Gear means less. Mm-hmm. The thing is like, so Brian talked about on the interview, who's saying about how people, he was like, "Yeah, I listen to all these podcasts, see all these guys." And I was like, maybe they're just not into it. You know, maybe they just don't like PvP.
Yeah, that was a great point.
That's cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that, you know, he was like, well, they're playing all these other games. So, you know, maybe they do. Maybe we're not, you know, fulfilling our end of the bargain in some way. Mm-hmm. And I think the reality is that when you play Heroes and Overwatch, you know, you play a character. You haven't got to level up Reinhardt to be competitive. If I pick Gul'dan in Heroes, I don't have to, short of, you know, unlocking abilities after level 10, you know, really, I haven't got to advance the character to be able to do stuff.
There's 20 levels in Heroes, right?
Well, yeah, no, but you get 20.
Don't stop playing a thousand hours of Heroes.
I'm just saying, but after right. you get
no,
you get,
I know. I was trying to make fun of Thurfshire for once in my life.
You get all the skills after 10, though, don't you? You get your ults after 10, yeah?
Yeah, you do. You get all that stuff. Yeah,
you get talents up till then, yeah.
So what I'm saying is that with WoW PvP, you know, you're in a world where you still have to invest time into a character. You have to level a character, play a character, and, you know, the gear element now being normalized, that I think is the biggest change for me. The fact that I can rock into PvP and, you know, again, in random skirmishes, I was getting paired with people with like 760 item level, and I was at like 840 and it's just like, oh wow. But it didn't matter because it normalized us. Mm-hmm. And there is some variance who can progress your character somewhat, but I feel it's more skill based than gear based than it's ever been before.
And that's how it should be. That's what it should be.
Yeah.
And there's other barriers. Like Holinka brought up some of the other barriers, like, well, you can't, you know, one of the things you can't do is just swap a character out. You can't play Gul'dan one match and go, "I'm sick of that, I'm playing Jaina now." You can't go,
and even more so in Legion, because of the fact that we've got artifact power. So even switching specs is harder than it once was.
Sure.
You know, we're now in a scenario where, you know, we can't do that as freely and still be as viable as our main.
Yeah. So you need your main to be as viable as possible in PvP. And I think that's what they've done. They've just said, look, you're mainly, most of you are focusing on a single character. Many of you are altaholics. That's great. But you've got this one guy. You've got Dills. You've got GURP. You've got whatever the two name of your European weirdo characters are. You want to take those in and fight and go. And it's all down to skills and it's all down to progression within that leveled playing field. And it's just a whole new world. Like, for the first time in a long time, PvP is very interesting to me in WoW. It used to be passingly interesting, and I used to get my thrill just watching Dills do it. It was like, oh, what'd you do this weekend, Dills? Oh, I did all this stuff. Sweet, dude. That sounds like that's a great place to be and hang out. But I don't think I've got time to make my character do what that does. But now I can. Yeah. Now I can.
There's this weird thing, too, where a lot of people were talking about, like, some of the real kind of devout PvPers were not really that happy about some of these changes. But I think a lot of them have changed their tune because, like you're saying, like, before you were rewarding them just for being the guys who spent the most time doing it, right? Mm-hmm. And for them, that was really fun because they were the ones spending the most time. So they felt like they could crush everybody with their gear. But at the highest level, everyone spent the same amount of time. So it like literally didn't matter. It just canceled each other out. Yeah. And it was, again, about skill, right? Yep. But only at that level. And then so everyone else was like screwed because those guys could like wander in every now and then to your battleground if they were just, you know, feeling frisky, and they would just crush everybody, right? But but they were not doing anything different from anybody else at the highest level. So they weren't really getting what they kind of claimed they aren't going to get anymore anyway. So it's like the playing field being leveled is just a huge deal to just not let it be like this little niche thing for these few guys who are really into it, and they all they do every day. Now it's just like everyone can do it. Let's really see who's the best based on just the skill alone. It's so good.
Yep.
Much better.
I like it.
I completely agree with this. There's just, you know, there's one element that I feel I have to mention just to be a little bit of a contrarian. PvE and PvP are still two very different experiences. And I do think that a lot of people will not, you know, you just play very differently. There isn't, you know, the barrier of the gear anymore, but there's still the barrier of the skill. And by that, I don't mean, you know, get good. I mean, the way you play the game when you're in a PvP setting, and that also you need to learn. First time you're going to jump in PvP, you're still going to get destroyed. Now, you know, that being said, it's true that the gear barrier was huge if you wanted to get into it. And I do think that now we're 6 weeks into the expansion. I think a lot of people have gotten to a steady rhythm of what they do in PvE. And I do believe that more and more people are going to think, all right, what else does the game have to offer? And probably gravitate towards PvP now that it's more accessible. But it's not going to be everyone. But as time goes on, I do believe more people are going to try it in this expansion than they did in the past. Yeah.
Think about the fact that when you open up your talent window, you see honor talents now. It's not this completely separated off thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, you, if you open up your talents, which you do as a PvEer, you open them up and then you're like, you're never shown anything about PvP ever until you like seek that out, right? You got to press that H button and you got to start looking through that to really see anything that matters as far as PvP is concerned. Yeah. Now people are going to see that honor talent tab. They're going to click over to it and be like, oh, I have to do PvP to get this. But this is stuff to unlock. Like, why would I not do this?
Yeah,
this is
stuff to do. It's already part of, it's part
of
the
events. I think the weekend events are absolutely also really cool to encourage people. Like, just give anyone, you know, a carrot at the end of that thing, and they're going to go to it. If you give a reward, people are going to do it. It's, you know, if 12 years of WoW has taught us anything, it's that if you want people to do a certain thing in the game, just give them a reward and they'll do it. Even when 100%. It's painfully unfun, they'll still do it because they have to do it. There's the reward.
But even then, I think one thing that Blizzard can do is be more generous with artifact power, with gold, with so many different things. I honestly feel like there's no reason not to be. When you look at some of the best mobile games out there with like kind of premium currency, the ones that are the best are the ones that actually give you the most stuff for free, because it gets you using it, you know, there's no harm in it. Whereas Blizzard seems to be dishing out artifact power in some places in the game in large quantities, But in others, it doesn't seem to be as dominant, I guess.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know why it feels a little stingy. I think maybe some of it's a little gun shy from Garrison's being a little too generous at the time. So maybe they're trying to start at a lower place and build out from there rather than pull back. It's always something you can add and people will be happy, and they will not be if you take it away. So that's my thinking, but I could be wrong about that, but I totally agree. It feels a little stingy right now.
But yeah, it does. But the problem is they have to hold, 18 to 24 months with that expansion. We're 6 weeks into it, and we already have how many? 19 traits out of 34? Mm-hmm. If you have anything to progress towards, I mean, yes, you'll have your ults and your other specs and everything. But remember, the rate of artifact learning, artifact knowledge learning is going to increase exponentially. So you will have a lot more artifact power to spend as things go on. And at that point, you might want to go and get an ult or stuff like that, because it's not just about you paying with your garrison resources order hold resources to increase the artifact knowledge multiplier. Mm-hmm. It also comes faster as the game goes on. Many people don't know this, but 4 days to gain an increase in artifact power learning?
Yeah,
if you start now, isn't it? Because I thought it's 5 days us on the bleeding edge. And
that's
then,
the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing. As time goes on, regardless of what level your character or alt or whether you play or not is, as time goes on, the game has built in a shortening of that artifact research timer.
In six months, it's
going to be 3 days for everyone.
Mm. So even if I'm at artifact knowledge level 10 and... So my 11th artifact knowledge will then take 3 days. Rather, I thought it was a catch-up mechanic. So that
it is a catch-up knowledge, mechanic.
Yeah. So if you haven't got artifact knowledge one, I think even now potentially is 3 days. Whereas, for me, it will forever always be 5 days up until the point where I max it out at 24, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
the way I understand it.
So the advantage to this now is that you as a player, you don't have to be logging onto your alt and making sure you're chucking that 500 resource into the artifact knowledge thing every time, because there's a likelihood that there's just no need to, and that you're going to end up being able to just do it quickly.
It's so expensive.
It is a catch-up mechanic, as you said.
It's so expensive. That's my only... I mean, that's why I feel like the rewards are stingy on those things.
It has to hold for 2 years.
I get it. I totally get it. But it just feels like I can never afford it.
the hold for 2 years thing is great, but really the ideal shouldn't be to give us things now that will be around 2 years from now, but to give us new things over that 2 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was what they didn't do right in Warlords, right?
Yeah.
Right.
They didn't give us enough new content. We were just playing our garrison for 2 years, and we just didn't want
to. The artifact adventure is something that they want to feel epic. And I do, I mean, I understand what you guys are saying. I just also would like to present the argument that if you did max out your artifact in 2 months, and then you didn't have anything to look forward to with that artifact, it would feel also underwhelming after, you wouldn't care about it after a year.
True, but also if you have something else to do, you won't care that your artifact is done, right? Like,
that's true.
Don't mind being done with something as long as I have something to move on to. And I think that's what Warlords didn't give us. And if they can just fix anything with this expansion, because they've got a great start, is to just make sure that, I've done my artifact weapon now. Cool. Now,
because you've got to remember, after your traits, you get the 20 for me as a warrior and paladin prot, I think it's extra armor. So I can rack up to 20 additional traits.
You can still get more stuff, yeah.
Exactly. And the thing is that because it's eternally scaling, regardless of the max level artifact knowledge being like 24,000%, it's still going to take me ages to get those final few extra. Well,
think about like Paragon and Diablo, right? It's like it just never stops. So even if you've maxed out so many things in that game, you're still feeling like you're doing something, you're getting somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, my thing is like, okay, once the artifact weapon is done, like if we make it so that that's exactly like, okay, everyone in 2 years' time, you will finally be done with that. Like that's one thing, but Like, if I max that out, and then they go like, oh, look, check this out. Here's an enchantment for your thing that you have to earn over all this time, and it has traits. Like, if they were to drop that bomb on us, like, I'd be like, sick, all right, more stuff to do. And everyone who'd finished their artifact weapon would feel really good about having a new thing. Mm. So
I completely understand, again, what you're saying. But if imagine they did that. Imagine they made a Paragon-like level, and you can keep playing, and however much, you know, artifact power you accumulate, you can get it for, you know, without stopping to play, and you can realistically keep playing every hour of every day and get more artifact power. The way it is now is a kind of gating. It's pointless to do it unless you have the multiplier. That means it will work, you know, it will be worth it for your next level. Mm-hmm. But if they didn't have that, big raid guilds or competitive guilds would require from their members to have insane levels of artifact power. And that is what everyone was criticizing them for in Mists, with the amount of daily quests. Basically, you could go and do whatever daily quest you wanted, and you had to if you wanted to be competitive. I think there's a real issue here of us looking at it from what we would want and then not thinking about all of the moving parts, and in particular the one of competitive guilds that would feel asphyxiated if it did work the way like you're describing, and just give people as much artifact power as they want if they're willing to play longer.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, no, that's not what I'm saying, though, actually. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying, like, I was talking about the whole stinginess that you guys are talking about, the feeling of it being stingy. Like, we need it to take this long to actually build up your artifact weapon. I'm saying, like, you don't need it to. You could have that be a much shorter process, and everyone could have a built-up artifact weapon in, say, 6 months or whatever, no matter what their playtime was. But some people could have it now, and then you can move on to other things as long as you create that new content, right? So, and right now, like, I'm sure in a competitive guild, you're required to do every single world quest or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So you get every little bit that you can at the moment. So it's, like, it's still, like, happening.
And the amount of times I've messed up on that, I've clicked on my artifact knowledge, and I've not then clicked on the scroll in my inventory, and I've just gone off and done a load of world quests, and then I'm being like, hang on, why are these being there?
Well, the problem is, there's no fix for being an idiot.
Well, exactly, that's the thing. But you've got to think that Blizzard should, you know, start considering, well, hang on, how do we, you know, some of our players are, you know, completely ridiculously stupid. How do we account for that? And I think, you know, Brian, again, talked about it a little bit in terms of, like, PvP now, you know, with talents and spells working slightly differently in those two sides of the game, that they were always eternally a bit scared of. I think they haven't done the best job in the world when it comes to communicating what spells work differently and, you know, are going to, you know, kind of hit for more or less than you'd expect.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a hard balance for sure. I agree, actually, with Patrick, and I agree with Dills. I hope there's a combination of both. I hope that we have stuff that takes forever to do and is gated, and that's fine, but then also squeeze in some other new shit and make it super interesting. And I don't want to ever get to a point where I want to bring up world quests every day and go, ooh, those are three things I need. I want to do that every day. If I don't feel like that at some point in the game, if I hit level 870 and I just look at daily quests and they're all shit, I'm going to be real sad, because I love the feeling.
There already are now. If you're 840 or so, if you're gear raid ready.
Well, you're not looking for gear anymore at that point, but you're still looking for artifact power and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but even then,
it's not as fun, though.
The interesting thing, though, is, like, if you're okay, so if it takes forever to get an artifact weapon up or whatever, the problem is, like, too, though, if you're a person who does two specs in a raid, what do I have to do? I have to build up two artifact weapons now? I would rather that process just be shorter, right? Just to allow more people to just be flexible and play what they want, and then just give us more other content, right? Don't rely on the artifact weapon to last the 2 years as being an interesting thing.
That's the problem I'm having with the Demon Hunter, who I'm leveling up. I'm really enjoying. I'm at 825 now, feeling really good about him. I'm still getting gear upgrades and world quests. I'm doing heroics. Like, I'm at that stage with that character, and it's great, except that I feel like if I need to get that DPS weapon going, I need to just, like, go slog it again. And it's not that bad. Yeah. I know that, but I'm not feeling motivated to do it because of it. I'm tanking.
Well, you have to decide what you're going to do, right? You have to decide, like, I'm going to go into raiding as a tank or Right. Because like, if it's an alt, do I have time to build up two artifact weapons on an alt? No.
Yeah, wow.
Maybe not on an alt, but I would argue for Scott, if you're, you know, you let's say you have two characters, you have the demon hunter you're really enjoying now. It's very easy to get your second spec to a level where it's absolutely competitive for the things you're doing now.
Yeah.
If you're, that's you know, true. If you're a competitive guild, yeah, maybe you're not going to be able to maintain both. But for what you're doing, you get your second spec to 13 artifact power for, yeah, what, 6,000 artifact power?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. You get that in, you know, a couple of days of world quests.
You're right. It's kind of like me complaining that I, once I hit 110 with him, that it was, I didn't want to wait around to, or, you know, I didn't want to go do Suramar shit to unlock world quests so that I had friendly with everybody. And Terpster on Twitter goes, dude, it'll take you like 40 minutes. And he was totally right. Of course, it took me like 40 minutes and I was fine.
You do it. You're like, oh, okay, yeah, I was like, cool.
No big deal at all.
Well, see you guys later. I'm not doing this. I was going to be really annoyed.
Yeah. I was going to be so annoyed if I'd have waited till 7-1 just because of that dumb principle that really didn't exist. But here's the thing, though. If you're talking about Demon Hunter, sure, there's two specs. But I really like my Hunter, and I probably ought to be working on those other two alternate specs as well. But I feel the same pressure with that one. So in my mind, I'm thinking, all right, well, I've got a DPS character that's 840 or whatever, and I've got this 825 up and coming Demon Hunter tank. There's my tank. There's my, those are the two things I want to play in the game now, DPS and tank. So there's my two. Maybe I don't, maybe they are my two specs. Maybe that's all I have to worry about. And if the guild says, oh shit, we need you on DPS this fight, I'll swap into GURP and play him.
So honestly, again, I mean, the simplification of gear makes it so you don't need to have multiple sets of gear, even less than you did in Warlords, right? The trinkets, maybe you need to change them, but even that, you can find ways around it. So the complexity they took out there, they put it a little bit in the artifact power. But again, honestly, 6,000 AP is all you need to get 13 levels, right? Mm-hmm. That is half a level for the remaining, you know, the subsequent levels. You can do that on all of your characters in half a day, especially with the catch-up mechanic that means you'll get the multipliers faster. Mm. To get them to, unless you're a competitive guild person, you'll get all of your characters to those 13 AP levels and at least one major trait and maybe even a little bit more, you know, very quickly.
Well, whatever the opposite.
I think it's more in your head than...
You're probably right. Game. And I'll admit, I'll cop to that. I mean, if there's an opposite to competitive guild, I'm that. So whatever that is, like if there's an antithesis to world first, that's me. So that's I'm fine with it.
Cool.
Last? That seems harsh. I don't think you would be world.
All right, I'm not world last.
Not great. You're not world last.
Yeah, I'm not world last.
In a min-max scenario, you're min.
Yeah,
that's
I'm somewhere in the middle. Fine. Real quick before we get to the actual news today, I wanted to make a fast mention about Time Walking Dungeons and my first time in there because the weekly the hoo-ha this last week was Time Walking Dungeons in BC, Burning Crusade. And it was so much fun. We did all of them. We got the chest. We got the extra stuff. I didn't get a great trinket, ring or whatever.
The rewards are 820, aren't they?
I think I got an 820 something, and it Titanforged up to 830.
It kind of feels like, you know, I'm a freelancer and my daily rate is just that little bit higher. Mm-hmm. Like I love the nostalgia kick, but again, I was a little bit like, ah, Blizz, come on. You've got, the thing is, they made World Quest so powerful and so good for gearing up that it kind of feels like everything else needs to step in line.
A little bit, yeah. I'll give you that.
If you had, if you had one class that was this much better than all the other classes, you'd be nerfing it or hopefully Blizzard bringing all the other ones up. Yeah. So that's the biggest problem I have with time walking at the moment is the rewards just aren't in step.
They're not. I agree with that. You
put it to 830, maybe even 840.
Yeah, that character benefited, so I can't complain. And also during the run, I think I went from 803 to like 825 because people were getting drops they didn't need, so they were giving them to me. But we had this pre-made 5-man, and it was an absolute blast, and it was good to go see some of that stuff. And you forget some of that dungeon content back then was great. Here's the big takeaway, though.
It takes forever.
Characters you're fighting spin constantly. That was a thing. Burning Crusade was the whirlwind expansion. Every boss, every piece of trash, all of them went, every time you freaking hit him. And
there's
it was
a lot of elves.
It was annoying as shit. Like this time it's the elf slash mana starved slash weird green shit on the ground expansion. BC was the whirlwind expansion. Everybody whirlwinded.
Maybe it was new tech at the time. That someone came into the dev team and they were like, oh, look, we can make a 3D model spin. And they were like, oh, my God, we're going to use this.
Also, I forgot the name of the dungeon. But
they're the best we've ever had.
What's the one where you're in the forest, you're back in time, and Medivh is bringing the first orcs through the portal?
Black Morass.
Okay.
Yeah, there's
Black
no water.
Morass,
yeah.
So we're in Black Morass, and here's something that's funny about that encounter. The creature stuff you're fighting are these old polycount-looking N64-looking shitty things from from 2007.
You're saying shit a lot, Scott.
I know it's all shit all the time. It's big shit today. So then Medivh is standing there at the portal doing the channel thing while you're doing everything, and he is made of we all were talking at the time about it. He's made of four polygons for real.
Actually a night elf model, isn't he? Or night elf rig.
Something.
That's the problem. So
he's a piece of paper.
It was always weird because he was this human male figure that was a night elf.
Yeah, and they didn't swap him out. So now
they just want to make him bigger or something?
I think they quite like the night elf casting animation. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, but he's basically looks like a origami sculpture from 2007. And the orcs that he brings in at the end of the encounter are the new models from Warlords. So it looks like a PS1 summoned in an Xbox 360. It's the weirdest thing. Like,
it's
he just
good.
Looks
That's how
terrible.
It should be.
I guess
Magic.
So. Anyway, that was just a funny thing we noticed. But it was really fun, and I loved it. And also, cannot say enough about Angry World Quest, the mod I use for world questing. The way it lets me filter stuff is amazeballs. So
remember to use the code Instance when you download that mod, guys. It really helps us. So.
There's no pay. It's just a mod. Just go freaking get it. All right, here's your actual news today. Tom Chilton is out. Not out like Metzen out, but down the hall out. He is no longer the game director on WoW. He has left. He has moved down the hall to what he is calling another project. We have no idea if that's a new project, an existing project, or whatever, because they haven't clarified.
It's a new one, because if it's existing, they'd say, Tom's on Diablo.
An existing product.
Would they, though?
It could be Diablo, because Josh is gone.
Tom's on Diablo 3, Reaper of Souls. He's going to make, bug fixes. That's his new job.
Make seasons great again.
Much pressure.
Possible. Like when they listen, when what's his name left the Diablo team, just to use that same comparison, and Josh came in to take over game director position, nobody knew where he went, and he went and did some, animation job over on the
WoW.
So why not? Well, I mean, I'm not saying Tom's in the same position or that there's anything weird going on, but is it possible that Hazzikostas just blew everybody's mind with his leadership on this thing and they went, we need a change, and they moved Tom to somewhere else that needs a squeaky wheel greased? I don't know.
Well, first of all, I don't think Jay Wilson, who is this did just some art on some other team. I'm pretty certain he worked on other stuff as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And Chilton is coming out of the one of the most successful expansions he's ever put out. He's been the game director for 7 years now, mm-hmm. after Kaplan left in 2009. And I'm sure this had been in the works for a while, but there's no way he's not taking the lead on another game. That I can't see that happening.
Okay. So if he's doing that and it's a new property, the last time this happened, like you mentioned, was Jeff Kaplan, and it was Titan, and that didn't go so well, except now, From the Ashes Rose Overwatch.
It went well now.
They made
$20 million well.
Lemons out of, what's the lemonade out of lemons there?
They made lemons.
That's the old phrase.
And they didn't even have any lemons to begin with. They made everything.
You've got
to appreciate the talent behind that team.
They grew lemons, then they made lemonade.
I'm not trying to say he's off to make a future failed product or anything, but I'm just saying, man, I would really like to know what it is. Like, I would love to know where are we doing, where are we at, what's the deal?
I mean, the thing is, what's really interesting is basically that Tom was going to have Titan.
Yeah.
This is the fun thing, is that he was going to move on from WoW and take on Titan. Mm-hmm. And then Greg Ghostcrawler was going to have WoW, I think, with Ian as his number two. And this is, again, my take it with a pinch of salt, me.
Yeah.
But obviously, Ian's been, you know, assistant game director, you know, making those cups of teas and doing those faxes for Tom Chilton, just really helping Tom, assisting him all the way.
Yeah.
And is now kind of, you know, I think he's always been hugely respected by, you know, the player base and obviously internally. And, you know, having spoken to him, it is immediately obvious how intelligent he is. And I think that just reeks. He's had a kind of a huge climb rapidly. I mean, he's been there 8 years, I believe, but you know, in 8 years to go from, you know, he was a lawyer, you know, and then he moved out to start being in the kind of the systems team and, you know, working on all that to now being leading the World of Warcraft team. Mm-hmm. I think just speaks volumes of like that guy lives and breathes, World of Warcraft. Mm-hmm. And, from the people I've had the fortune to, he certainly seems like by far the best person for the job.
You know, I remember it was a few years ago at, I think it was Gamescom, and we had Ian come out and have a community conversation with, he was on the Encounters team at that point. And he was having conversations with the raiding guilds and what they thought was working, what wasn't. And you said he had a quick rise. He really was. I knew the game really well, and I knew the people in the company that were, you know, spokespeople. And Ian came out of nowhere, and he was like this person who knew everything. And he was really good. He was a lot more awkward than he is now. It was really funny to see that, you know, evolve. Yeah. But he had some funny mannerisms, and he was like, he was super geeky. And he was really on top of everything. And I can't believe, honestly, I would never have suspected that he would get the, I mean, yes, it's been apparent in the last couple of years, maybe, but only now that he would get the lead for the entire team. He must be doing a lot of things right over at Blizzard.
Yeah, just, I think, because exactly, commanding that respect internally in that time. And to go, like I said, from being a lawyer, obviously, like I said, super intelligent guy, mm-hmm. but it's not like, oh yeah, I shipped, you know, EverQuest, or I did all these other MMOs, or this other big game. You know, he was new to game design as such.
Yeah.
He led one of the world's best raiding guilds before joining the company. And he's always been that kind of hardcore classic raider in when you talk to, again, a lot of the player base out there, that's the perception. So one of the worries is, you know, Ian's the guy who's been the spokesperson behind taking away flying. You never really know how much is his direct, he's the champion because he believes in it, versus, hey, Ian, when you go out to this event, could you talk through this change that we as the team have agreed is the best way forward? And I think that, you know, the perception is that he's super hardcore,
yeah.
and is going to make WoW more hardcore, less accessible. And I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing, or even, to be honest with you, I probably don't think that will happen. But when you look at stuff like, you know, already with World Quests making gearing up so quickly, immediately normals and heroics fall away in terms of the reason to do them in regards to gear. And so now you're doing mythics, which is great. But mythics then means that you have to physically move to the dungeon. Mm-hmm. You have to go there. In essence, they've kind of covertly removed Dungeon Finder in terms of it being a regular part of your play experience, which is slightly more hardcore than before. Mm-hmm. Equally, you know, once you're in there, you start doing mythic higher gear there. You know, Raid Finder as a you know, experience thing, you know, you're not getting the gear out of that. So then you have to start going into group finders to do normals and heroics and mythics in the raids as well. So already the game, I think, has kind of covertly pushed back towards being more of that classic WoW experience.
Mm-hmm. What if instead of it being like that, it's for people who don't care, they can still feel like they're gearing up. And then for people who want that hardcore experience, they can have it.
So, well, that's what I kind of feel, is that they've ticked like all the boxes. Yeah. It's, again, it's a very smart solution.
It's not moving backwards,
solution.
It's moving...
No, no, exactly.
Completely moving forwards in a way, because a lot of the people who were unhappy with the state of the game were unhappy because they were missing that experience, right? And everybody else was yeah. fine with whatever. So, but now it's like, I can feel like LFR is the end of my progression, and I could totally be ready for it really quickly and get in there and see that content, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of cool, I think, to have somebody yeah. who enjoys that ideal of the game and like that way to play to still be a part of this game, because I think a lot of people that'll like show a lot of people Blizzard still cares about that player, right?
Oh, 100%.
It's so much so that they put the belt on one of you, right?
Yeah. And,
like,
yeah,
that's how much they care about that player.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it was cool on Hlinka's interview that Scott put out. He said about, you know, Ian sent an email out to the team talking about introducing envy into it, in terms of each class feeling like they do something cool and special. And I love the idea that, you know, pushing towards creating fun things. So it's like, oh man, isn't it really cool? I like rogues can do that really cool thing. Or like, oh man, I like playing my mage because I can do this thing that other people can't. You know, I like the idea that that's the sort of, you know, message he's pushing. And, you know, that there is obviously a huge amount that a game director does. You know, Blizzard is always a product of lots of great minds, you know, working together. But I think that equally, it's an exciting time to have someone like Ian at the helm versus, you know, Chilton, who's you know, served us well. You know, we've got the best WoW we've ever had at the moment.
Yeah, I totally agree. And he's got a good way, or he seems to be the kind of, like you said, it's always a team effort, yes, but it's also a leadership effort at Blizzard. It always has been. So whenever you find a great team making great work, you find a great leader in that team. And sometimes they find them in strange places. Taryn Gregory, they found making weird machinima at home, and now is responsible for some of the coolest moments in the lore of that game that I've ever experienced. You could argue that this move with Hazakostas is them saying, hey, he used to be a lawyer, sure enough, but turns out his mind is perfect for what we're doing. And that kind of leadership inspires a huge number of people to do their best work. Like, it's just... the game is really, really great right now, and it covers so much more ground, from the casual to the kind of I've got time but not that much time to the I have way too much time people. And again, we need some more months to see if that can stick, but so far it feels like it's stuck. And somebody had to make the hard decision right around the petering out of Warlords to go, guys, I know this is going to be hard. We're going to take all kinds of shit for this. In some ways, we kind of screwed people over because this cost them money. But we have got to move on to the next thing and make it amazing, and not look back. I don't know if that was him. I don't know if it was that leadership or if it was Tom's or what.
I think it's a lot of people. But equally, like I said, the nice thing about Hazakostas is that he truly loves and knows this game. And I've not necessarily had that same feeling. You know, kind of passion coming from someone like Chilton. Chilton's, he almost felt
with
like
Chilton?
He was. Yeah,
are you kidding?
It honestly, to me, felt like he was going through the motions towards the end.
Really?
It didn't
towards the end, maybe.
But that's what I don't know. But again, it's like the interesting thing was when I was chatting to Ian out at Gamescom, there were a few times when he just called me on my bullshit. And so I would, you know, I'd get off getting all like hyped about like, and this thing's broken and this thing's broken. And he's, you know, he's looking at his watch thinking, I want to go, you know, and like, he's like, I appreciate the beer, but I want to go. But then actually there was a few times when he was like, really? And then he's like, hang on, let me just check this a second. And he like looks up things. It's never been that. Like what you're saying is just wrong. And I mean, that was great. And just in terms of like the guy honestly does, you know, he's involved in the community, listening to people. He plays the game all the time. I just feel good about it.
Either he's really super good at what he does and at shepherding the game, or he's such a great lawyer that he's finding dirt on everyone and like blackmailing them into getting a better position. And in 8 years,
you go. The stuff he's got on Morheim. Whoa.
Yeah. Hey, Metzen, hurry and retire, Metzen, or I'm putting that video out. Whoa, he's out. Yeah. No.
It's even better than that. It's just like, hey, Mike, you know you always brag about paying people, you know, on your credit card. That's actually illegal. But you did. I don't want to take you out for it, but I will, because I'm not only a game designer, I'm also a super lawyer. Yeah.
Do you want to be game lead on WoW? Okay, sure. Don't say anything.
Yeah.
What do you think Tom is up to now?
I wouldn't be surprised if he was doing the new Diablo.
Well, like, they need a leader. They need leadership.
Josh
on
left.
That. Yeah.
And they're not doing any more 3. They got to do 4. I think, you know, Chilton. I could see him doing that.
Yeah. I could see that. Sure. Take the franchise and you know, by the Grab it by the...
I think that would be cool. Past that, I mean, I don't know...
Grab it by the what now?
Yeah, I wasn't going to finish that.
By the Diabolos.
By the Diabolos, yeah.
The Danglebolos. And I don't know if... yeah, I don't think that there's anything close to completion of new stuff coming out of Blizzard. And equally, it might not be. And it also might be that we're just not going to hear about anything from Tom for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I would imagine that's the big hole I've seen in their current lineup is since Josh left, is they haven't announced, at least, not that there would be much cause to, because what are you going to say? Hey, guys, we've got this new lead working on stuff. Don't worry about it for now. You know, they can't really talk about anything anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's a huge franchise of Blizzard's. It's a, you know, really real heritage product. And it's one of the biggest PC games ever. I could see that being a sweet move for Chilton to go on to. But at the same time, I don't know what that would motivate him to go.
Well, maybe he's getting some carte blanche to take that thing in a whole new direction, or take it in a place it needs to go next, or whatever. I mean, there could be.
We don't know. It's just speculation.
Yeah. Speculating, you know, on a piece of speculation, but it'd be interesting. Yeah. Like, we were going to talk about this. May as well do it now. We got the BlizzCon schedule, and there is virtually nothing in there for Diablo. Other than a few Q&As and just minor stuff. And the opening ceremonies are really your only place to do anything that we don't know about. So,
there's not any holes either, though. There's not like a block in the schedule that says, you know, like, oh, you know, new announcement, or like, you know, future of game, mm-hmm. or something. I don't know. Yeah, there's nothing there that says this is going to happen.
Yeah.
I think a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago, there was one slot that was on it, you know, something that was swept out at the end. I can't remember exactly what happened, but there was something, and I can't imagine that they would swap something. You know, maybe the Hearthstone what's new is not absolutely necessary there, or maybe they can do a lot of things in the opening ceremony. But I agree, there's basically nothing Diablo related in the
Diablo 20th anniversary.
Yeah,
that's it.
But they're doing a party for that point, and a concert. And all
to
that.
The point that I think it's almost suspicious. It, you know, if you want to get your tinfoil hat on,
it's
like, wait, there's nothing to say about Diablo at all. Maybe they were like, yeah, we can't say anything, and so they camouflaged a few of the talks into something else. But like they realized when they put it out, they were like, wait, I was going to camouflage into mine. No, into mine. So now there's no Diablo appearing, and it's looking suspicious.
And there's so little Diablo that it's going to be all Diablo.
Yeah, I don't...
Welcome,
I think it's unlikely
to BlizzCon 2016. This year, we have had esports, StarCraft. Let's meet the pros.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Honestly, though, I don't know, dude.
How much esports is there?
I think we need to change the way we think about BlizzCon. I think it might just become a huge esports convention.
Yeah, like, I think it really.
There's four legit competitive games right now,
mm-hmm.
and four long ass tournaments mm-hmm. to conduct and finish, and, you know, a bunch of champions to find out who they are. And like that, I think, honestly, you know, BlizzCon has been the place to just hear the big news. It might not be the case anymore. It might just be like the place where we just got to celebrate these games we really like and watch the best people in the world play them.
I don't disagree.
I think it will always be.
I don't know if I'm going to play.
There will be announcements, but I don't know if it's the big, it's not the biggest part of it anymore to me. Like, well, it's starting to shift into this. This is just, you know, the end of the season for all of these esports now.
Yeah.
It's definitely that, too. I mean, there are four esports stages, one per game. It's, and they're full. I mean, one per game almost. There's WoW peppered in with heroes in there, but it's huge. It's nonstop. Like, there is no way you can physically follow everything. Even the finals are, you know, stepping on one another, and I'm sure there's going to be delays, so it's going to be impossible to follow everything. But it's always going to be the place where they announce their big.
No, I know they'll announce it, but I'm just saying that's not going to be the focus. We don't need it to be.
It's not
mind-blowing thing every single year. That's not going to. I don't think that's going to be the case.
Exactly. We know we're going to get a Hearthstone expansion. It's quite likely we'll get like an Overwatch hero based on the fact that there were, you know, huge leaks around Sombra.
Yeah.
So she hasn't come out with the Halloween stuff. So maybe that's
probably
what's going to happen there.
Or two and a new mode.
Maybe a new map or a new mode. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Heroes. Maybe we finally get the Brawl Arena stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then again, probably an extra couple of heroes. That's about due on the schedule.
That Brawl thing's on PTR. That could be out as early as next week.
Yeah. So, well, exactly. So I don't know quite what we'll see. And WoW, I'm hoping we get 7.2 news because obviously we've already had a bit of news around 7.1, and 7.1's on the PTR and you can play that now. So, yeah. I don't think that there needs to be something. It's just a shame that, again, Diablo 20 years, that there's not a cool thing. But again, we might get little things. It might be, again, HD remakes. It might be other stuff like that. And it may just be, again, a big party. But one of the things, you know,
and that would fit in the opening ceremony. If they do a nice HD remake, it would be, hey, by the way, Diablo, woohoo, HD, there you go. They don't need to have a whole panel about it.
I'll be shocked if they don't have some kind of tease. I don't know what it'll be. It could be a cinematic or something as small as a mention, but something will be said somewhere. The Diablo team has dropped too many bombs on Twitter lately where they're like, oh, you're going to be excited about BlizzCon then. They're either overselling the HD thing.
They're the evilest of people. They're Diablo. Come on.
They're either overselling the HD remake of 2, or they're underselling some announcement we don't know about. So I'm holding out hope. I refuse to be down in the dumps on this. I want to know what's next for Diablo. And if it's Tom Chilton's run Diablo, hey, that sounds kind of cool. Okay, real quick, got to take a sponsor break. And when we come back, more talk about BlizzCon and more. All right, ladies and gentlemen, within the sound of my voice, here's something I know for sure. Your guild will be a lot better off if you have a website for it, where people can kind of meet and greet. Ooh, how are you going to do that with all the limited time you have? You're a working professional. Maybe you have kids. You're busy. You got stuff to do. Well, maybe instead of taking a bunch of time to either hand-build that site from scratch or hiring somebody else to do it, maybe you could go to squarespace.com and have all the tools and templates you need to do it simply and easily. Click and drag and drop. Whoop, you're done. And it's all standards compliance. It's not like weird that way. And you want to look good on mobile and desktop because you're all going to be at BlizzCon looking for each other, checking out the website. Well, it'll look good there too. Go to squarespace.com right now and give it a shot. 14-day free trial without a credit card. And when you decide to stay, use the code INSTANCE at checkout and save 10%. That's squarespace.com. Build it beautiful. Also, if you
said about there's no band.
Yeah, not yet. No announced yet. Yeah, they're
normally,
taking...
normally we would have it by now, wouldn't we?
Yeah, we would.
And normally...
Well, it's what, two weeks away?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that all? Holy shit.
Maybe there's not going to be a band.
Really, 2 weeks?
I think it's 3 weeks.
Two and a half.
Yeah. I'm like, whoa.
Okay, two and a half.
San Francisco for a whole week.
Yeah,
okay.
Two and a half, something like that. But
they have a closing ceremony. It's 3 hours long. If there isn't a band, I don't know what they're going to do.
You just want to say it all of a sudden at the like right then and there.
Maybe they're bringing I don't know, Paul Sam's coming back. He's just gonna talk for 3 hours.
Don't upset me, Scott. You can stay away.
We don't talk about PS.
Oh, PS.
When Terpster's here.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah. It's a trigger for him. He has a real problem with it.
Yeah, don't like it.
By the way, I almost wasn't going to be at BlizzCon this year, you guys.
Oh, my gosh.
It almost wasn't going to happen.
Oh,
yeah.
That would have made me sad.
Got to give a shout-out to the Jen for motivating me at the last moment and finding me a flight for $200.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I have to leave Sunday morning at, like, 8 a.m., kind of crappy, but whatever.
That's when I have to leave. That
just means
suck.
You don't sleep on Saturday night. That's even better.
Yeah, just stay up all night. Yeah, but I won't be available for like DizCon. DizCon is, you know, always very.
Well,
fun.
It's not. I'm not doing it this year because I'm going to Vegas. I'm doing a new type of. It's called JizCon. We're gonna go out and do Vegas again. That was fun last year. It should be actually called just Buffet Con.
Yeah.
Because I eat far too much food.
Just con. But, yeah. That's amazing. So I'm doing Disneyland, but I'm doing it on Wednesday because of the way our schedule worked out. So I'm bringing the two kids
is
again.
Is that the third or that?
Wednesday? I guess it's the third. Cause it's
the second. I think Wednesday is the second. That's when I'm flying in.
I fly in then.
Yeah.
And wait, are you flying in on what flight? Maybe you shouldn't say it, so. But I'm flying through your capital, that the one that's not in Europe anymore, London.
Yeah, London. Oh yeah, London, the old London town they call it. It used to be part of Europe.
Are you doing it on Virgin or who are you flying with?
I can't remember.
This is exciting, Patrick. Okay, cool. Well, thanks for keeping me on the download there.
No, but I figured, you know, which flight gives me the highest likeliness of being on the plane with Terpster.
Exactly. And I'll make sure I pay for first class and I'll get you put into like counter class, like the lowest it can be.
Oh, crap. It's American Airlines.
Just so I can come back and, that's even worse.
Just make sure it's not United.
That's even worse.
As long as it's not United internationally, you'll be fine. Their computer system's been down for like 3 days and everything's delayed. So don't go United. Well, they're having problems.
You know,
yeah, things are hurting bad over
there. This show's brought to you by United.
If you want,
use the code instance. If you want to get on a plane,
that's right. Yeah. Hey, if you want to,
just type it in places on the internet, guys. See what happens.
If you are a virtual ticket holder, you can buy stuff on the store pre the show that normally they'll have there. So all the sweet swag you only get at BlizzCon available through the 6th. So starting now,
I think everything's gone.
Is it already gone?
It's gone already.
Is it already gone? Damn it! All right. Well,
I got the Hearthstone keepsake box when I was out in Gamescom, €250.
Yeah.
And it was on the store for $225, aka half the price. And I was just like, oh no!
Yeah.
It's just upset.
It's expensive,
it's fine. But it's fine.
Hey,
it's fine.
Before we get to the email today, I wanted to talk about this Halloween event in Overwatch real quick.
It's so good.
It's really good. I am convinced
and I
now
that voice made me sound unnecessarily creepy.
It's all right.
But it's just that good.
Yeah.
You're a JizzCon. I understand. Overwatch. I've always said there's more to it than just this competitive stuff. I don't know what it will be, what it will look like, and I don't know how they'll experiment. But I think I kind of figured it out. Lucio Ball was kind of a taste of it. This even more so. It's a co-op experience. It is themed around Halloween. It is super well polished and well done. It's short, but fun and repeatable. And the skins are great. And everything about this event is awesome. And I'm really stoked about what that means for maybe whatever the world may hold for Overwatch in the future. And they always talk about how they've got a billion ideas and they're trying a million things. And to see this come out, and I thought it was just going to be, they'll put some pumpkins around the regular levels, kind of WoW style. And you'll get some cool skins that are Halloween themed. And I thought that was going to be the event. And instead it's this awesome, weird story thing in like kind of alternate universe stuff. And they use Junkrat and Roadhog in ways that are super creative. And it's just awesome. So if you haven't played it
felt very TF2 kind of man versus machine update, which, you know, had the comics launching it and new kind of horde mode stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think the brawl's really interesting. I think the kind of restriction on the characters you can use is kind of frustrating but needed.
Well, so wait a second. Let's explain what it is, because it's still a WoW show and maybe people haven't tried it out.
Yeah, explain it, Patrick. Give
so
us the lowdown.
Basically, you get into a horde mode type gameplay session with only four characters playing against the computer, and you have to choose between one of the four, which are McCree, Anna, Hanzo, and Soldier. Yeah. Soldier 76, and you have to go through waves of enemies, and it's small zombie omnics, so they're zomnics.
Yep.
And they have to destroy your the gate you have to keep, and during that encounter, it lasts maybe 10 minutes, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You have bosses appearing at different points, and the bosses are other characters. There's Junkrat, which is Dr. Junkenstein. The creature is Roadhog, obviously. You have Mercy, which is the witch, and the Reaper, which is
Headless Horseman.
Which one is that?
Headless Horseman.
Sure?
And it's really compelling as a PvE experience, as are many of those horde mode type gameplays. But what makes it even better was what Scott was talking about, was all of the way they're peppering it with lore and the dialogue and the narration, which says, you know, the creepy voice explains what's happened. It's sort of like a tale that the inhabitants of the world of Overwatch would tell their children about the heroes of Overwatch.
Exactly. Junkrat is never going to be the good guy in your child's bedtime story in the world of Overwatch. They're never going to do that.
Right.
It's super good. I played with Patrick a game and then the game crashed on me, so I didn't play again with you. But
That's why you disappeared.
Yeah, I meant to text.
Rage quit.
I meant to text you and go, because we lost on Medium, which was kind of a bummer, but I crashed and I was going to text you and say, hey, the game crashed and then I had stuff to do, but played it a bunch since. My kid love this freaking mode. Like, it's all they want to do is play that. Nobody's gotten any good skins yet, though. My daughter, Taylor, my oldest, spent, I don't know, $50 on chess or whatever. Yeah. And you know, horribly irresponsible, but who am I to say? Because I would do the same thing.
So well, she's married.
Great investment for your future. That's good. That's
out of the house.
She's married. She's an adult. She can make these decisions.
She's not your problem anymore, Scott.
Right. So anyway, it's good. It's really good, and people should mess with it. Dills, you like what you see there?
Yeah. To be honest, Overwatch has like dipped in playtime for me a lot lately.
Careful what you say, Dills. Careful. Overwatch is an important thing for me.
I really enjoy Overwatch, but it's I don't know. Maybe I need more modes out of it. Like, Hearthstone still just holds my attention far more.
Yeah. See, and I'm the opposite.
This kind of stuff is a big deal. It's a big help because it just gets you to log in and then remember why you like Overwatch so much again, right?
Yeah.
So
that's what it did for me. Actually, you know what worked for me is I played a little bit of Paladins, which is the biggest ripoff I've ever seen.
Did that come out before or after?
Yeah, well after.
It was the same time, basically. They're still in beta.
It was in beta. Yeah, but it's still in beta. It's just on early access.
It came out in alpha, I think, before Overwatch came out in alpha, I think.
Paladins? I don't think so. You might be thinking of Battleborn. Are you thinking of that?
No. I play Paladins a long time
ago. Oh, okay. Well, it's I mean, every character has an analog. I mean, look, it's quite literally in Overwatch. Dude with the giant shield, like big tank guy, guy that rolls in a ball and blows up when you time it right. Everything's got, there's a big fat turtle that does a chain pull. Like, it's all just way derivative. I'm not going to say it wasn't fun, though. I actually kind of had a good time in there. And there are also horses, which is interesting. But anyway, that happened. And I went, oh, this isn't bad. It's this huge ripoff, but it's not terrible. And then I thought, well, all right, just do some comparison. Went back in Overwatch and went, oh, sometimes you just need to be reminded how good and how polished and how rad it is in here. So I kind of adhere to that thinking of the game is great, but you need a break from it sometimes. Sometimes you're just doing those same maps and you're doing the same stuff over and over. And I feel like they're mindful of that. But then you need to come back to it and you go, oh, yeah, that's right. It's nice and warm and cozy in here. So that's where I am with Overwatch. Game's great. And this event's really good. So play it, people, if you haven't played it.
Yeah, wait, when was Overwatch announced? It was BlizzCon 2014.
Yeah.
2014. Okay. Yeah, all right. In that case, I take back what I was saying. Paladins was announced August 5th, 2015.
Yeah, that sounds right. So about a year later.
After launch, I thought, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. Yeah, it was close to that.
That was the announcement.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay.
Here's this little thing.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why? It's the Town Crier.
You can tell when it's Town Crier time because I have sunk down in my chair. I got to sit up. Oh, there we go. Hey, look at this. If you call us and leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462 or emails at theinstance@gmail.com, you can leave us messages like this one from Chew Braca. He is in our guild, AIE, which has been popping, man. AIE just rocking it right now. Everyone's having a great time. It's good to see the guild throbbing like a big vein on our server.
Oh, okay.
I'll stop right there. Yeah. Says, Instance Crew, I was able to gear my main with a healthy diet of world quests and became mythic ready without stepping into a single heroic dungeon. In fact, most heroic runs only provided artifact power items and rarely any upgrades for me. LFG raid is the same story. So what's the point? Is Blizzard pushing us to mythics? Are they trying to devalue the LFG system? It's funny that this is the email and we kind of talked about this. Anyway, is Thrall getting overtly emotional again? And when can we expect to knock this shit off? Keep up the good work, Chew Braca. So we kind of talked about the progression system and how it I would echo Dill what Dill said earlier, where now there's a tier for everybody. Everybody can do a thing. And maybe your end game is LFR, and it always was. Great, you still have that. Maybe your end game is much more than that. Well, guess what? Dungeons are still relevant because Mythic and Mythic Plus are a big deal. Like, it's they've covered the whole... I feel like they've covered the field more this time than ever. To Terpster's point, maybe it does deprecate LFR and LFG a little bit. I don't know, but
yeah, I mean, there's some things I think are potentially a you know, kind of not entirely thought through. Mm. I think there's one of the pathfinding achievements is locked behind raiding, which kind of is okay, but at the same time, it's meant to be that, you know, if you don't want to raid Mythic Plus, you know, you can now do your 5-man hardcore experience. You don't need to find a load of people to be challenged at the highest level.
Yeah. Also, there's a world, not a world quest, but a class hall quest for, I want to say it's, I'm not sure actually what class it is. But anyway, somebody was complaining about it the other day, and they were saying, I cannot progress past this point in my class hall journey without doing a mythic dungeon, and I can't get, you know, 4 other people in here with me.
I don't know people to do that with. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is, yeah, so I understand this is frustrating. Mythic, you can get with the, you have to use the tool, the friend, the pre-made group finder tool. Mm-hmm. And it's really not that difficult. I understand it might be frustrating for some people, but it's not that difficult. And to address his question about heroics and mythics, I think there's a problem in the naming convention here, because heroics are really just the normal dungeons from before, and mythics are the heroics. And you don't really need, it's true that you pass over heroics really quickly, but then you have to do Mythic Plus. And that's all about, you know, getting the game to be more social again, which we've discussed, I guess. And I'm guessing...
And insane modifiers. Mm-hmm. You know, you go in there and it's like, you know, volcanic, and there's just stuff all over the floor. And it's just like, what's going on? I'm so scared.
And it's basically 5-man raiding is what it is. It's 5-man raids is the way I look at it. Yeah.
But for a lot of the things that you can't do now in your order hole campaign, they're going to be patched in so that you can do them in LFR. Mm-hmm. For the things that require you to raid. Yeah. The only things that will be gated behind non-LFR raid are going to be the cosmetic artifact appearances.
And that's how it should be. That's a great thing to put behind that, I think.
I think that's a good compromise.
It seems to me, too, that I think we're thinking of it wrong as players, where we're thinking, oh, well, now I have gear, so like I'm done, right? Mm-hmm. And the end goal is not necessarily gear. The end goal is doing stuff that's fun to do, right? And we've been kind of trained by this game for so long to think that I do the fun thing because I get the gear. But really, like, that's kind of backwards thinking. We should be thinking that we're doing the fun thing because the fun thing is fun to do. Mm-hmm. And right now, the world questing... A lot of people are going like, oh, well, look, I'm done gearing because of world questing. So I guess I don't need to do anything. It's like, well, do you want to raid? Because if you want to raid, then you go do it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how much gear you got in world quest, right? Like, do you want to go see the bosses? Do you want to see the content?
They're all gateways.
Content. If you don't, then don't.
They're all gateways to other stuff for sure.
Yeah. But like, it's a weird thing how we've over time kind of just learned that perception in our brains is like, this is not an
upgrade for me. Yeah. I'm not going to do this.
Well, so I agree with you in principles, Dills, but I don't think the game has trained us to do it. I think we've discovered through different ways of playing the game that that's what our brains tell us we want to do.
Yeah.
I really think that people do it for the reward because that's how, you know, our brains work. We want to be on that hamster wheel to get the reward at the end. If we just played stuff because they were fun.
The game is nurtured, though.
But the game has definitely helped us, because you don't feel like that in Overwatch. You don't feel like that in Heroes. You don't feel like that in any other game. This game clearly wants to, like, put that carrot on a stick, which is gear, and then it's become now the thing to be earning is the gear and not the good times and the fun. Like, we look back. Yeah. I'll be honest. Like, it's so funny, because I look back on old times playing World of Warcraft, and I never once think about, like, the chess piece that I got, like, ever. But at the time, that's all I cared about, right? Mm-hmm. Like, at the time, that was like, I'm in here to do this. But now all I remember is, like, the, you know, the fun times and the weird, stupid, wacky conversations and stuff. But it's like, still at the time my brain was thinking, oh man, I hope I get that chess piece, you know, not, oh, I hope I have a lot of fun tonight. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just it's bizarre.
If you go speak to the game devs and everything they've tried, I am 99.5% convinced that they will tell you, you know, we agree that's not the way it should work, but whatever we do, people gravitate towards the gear upgrade or the reward that is worthwhile for them in their character, no matter what the type of content is. And so I guess I'm agreeing with you that this is the situation. I'm just disagreeing that the game has nurtured it. What I'm saying is that's the way we, the players and the community, has taken the game. You know, we have taken it in that direction because we're dictating what we want to do by what we actually do every day.
It's game theory 101 for sure. And Blizzard knows that. And of course, that's what video games are supposed to do. They're supposed to make you feel rewarded. Nobody wants to play, especially in this day and age where RPG elements have bled into every genre, every kind of game. It's in everything now for the most part. And if it doesn't have some piece... If it doesn't have some piece of that, it was in the house the whole time, then it doesn't feel like it's competing in a modern gaming era. And so it's across the board, mobile stuff all the way up to, you know, some AAA title. There's some progression that feels RPG-ish, and there's a reason they're all adhering to it. It's because our brains respond really well to it. It's not, I don't feel like they've talked us into it. I think they're just tapping into it.
But I'm not making the point that they intended for this to happen. I'm just making the point that the way the game was structured, this is how it ended up happening.
Our
humanity dictated that we would find a way to make that happen, but what I'm saying is this game, more than any other type of game and MMOs in general, is going to force people to think that way. And you can just hear it when this guy sends us an email or a voice message saying like, oh, I'm done now because I have gear that surpasses this thing, so why even do this thing?
Right
And the reason to why do this thing is because it's a
now
cool
we can
thing
finally
to do,
play
fun.
The game.
But you know, like I'm just saying that, like, in a game like Overwatch, you don't go into a game of Overwatch, a single match of Overwatch, like worried about what reward you're going to get at the very end of it, right?
Yeah.
But you go into every dungeon like wondering what reward you're going to get out of it, if there's any gear to get out of it, and if you don't,
and when
like
there's no
feels
gear,
like let down, oh, you know.
Son of a coming for you.
Maybe
I'm coming for you, Hakostas.
That would be that Hakostas. Maybe that, you know, that would be a beautiful dream that you just laid out. You know, a way to play an MMO where the most important thing is not the reward at the end of the activity you're happening to do at that specific moment, but the fun you have doing it. You know, if anyone can
that
make it happen,
like I made
that
a
would
drug
be...
that's not addictive, and it's like, you know what, I'm not gonna have it.
Okay, I have the perfect modern example of this. There was a game called, it was a mobile game called Loot Something. Anyway, it was basically just a screen with a treasure chest.
It was basically all about that.
And all you did was click treasure chest, it would pop open, and you'd either have upgrades or not. And you'd do it again, you'd have an upgrade. Ooh, put that in my glove slot, because you had like a character sheet above it where you'd put your gloves, your helmet, and all that. And so it basically distilled, say, World of Warcraft or Diablo or any kind of loot-based game, it distilled it down to its most primordial elements of open a thing, there's a thing in it, it's better than what I had, let's do that again. That is the entire game, and I played that for months. And when I say play it, I mean
really?
I clicked it and watched and clicked it. I got red items, I got legendaries, and there's something that it's clicking in your head. It doesn't last more than those few months for me because there's not much else to it, and I think we do ultimately need something else. But it will always be this.
Playing this game for a few months, Scott, I would have your head checked out for something. It's a long time.
I think
that
it
game.
Fun, in. But... It taps into that thing though that we all have, like casual clicker games that are so popular right now. There's a reason those are popular. It's because it's tweaking that like very basic reward system in your head, and Blizzard knows how to get this more than anyone. Thankfully, they also padded out with a ton of other great stuff that we love, like story and character and environment and mechanics and, you know, all of that. But that's really all it boils down to, is I'm getting something cool for doing this, and they know that better than any company doing this. I think
watch an old lady put money into a slot machine forever and
exactly
just, I'll never be surprised by what human beings will just sit there and just like just for the potential of a reward,
yep,
right?
Yep.
Whether you get one or not, it's yep. just the idea that it might be on the other end.
And you know what?
And
you know,
doesn't matter what the actual action is that you're doing. Like that could be the most mind-numbingly boring thing ever, and we'll still just do it because the reward might happen.
You know what the blue haired lady version of this in World of Warcraft is me going to Violet Hold out there on the outskirts of it, talking to that dude and paying 1,000 gold for a bonus roll.
For a bonus roll, yeah. that's like 40 gold most of the time.
Dude, I hate that.
It's good, man. But, that's what you're hooked. You're hooked.
I would hope that at least World of Warcraft is a little bit more sophisticated than that, you know? And
most of it is
player based.
Most of it is, but that thing, that's a slot machine.
We're at 10 million players again, so
it even does the slot machine thing. It's like no gold. It's like give me artifact power. I'd be okay with it. I think I'd be okay with artifact power. Honestly,
such a bummer. Yeah, such a bummer when you double roll
1,000 golds worth of artifact power. That would be cool.
I'd do that. Sure, that'd be fine.
Because that way, I'm always winning. Yeah. I'm always winning. Yay! Hooray!
To his other point, Terpster, maybe you can answer this: is Thrall being all emotional again? And what's your prediction on Thrall?
I think Thrall's retired. I think that's what's going to happen. I think we're going to see, you know,
Thrall's too old for this shit.
I think it's not even that. I think he's already given away the Doomhammer. Okay. Yeah.
Here, do it in a voice. Here we go. We're doing this is a mini lore episode.
Okay.
Okay. All right, go for it.
Champions, take my hammer. I need to have a sit down.
And it's like, oh, but Thrall, we need you. The earth elements are really angry.
Yeah.
Agra's pumping out babies like you wouldn't believe. I gotta change some diapers. I can't be saving Azeroth again. Come on. Come on, it's your time to step up, champion, hero.
And that'll be it. And then we'll do it.
All right, well done, well done.
That was amazing.
That's our lore segment for today, everybody.
There you go. That's actually taken from some of the books in the game. If you want to read that for yourself, you can head on over to the Suramar Library, where if you click on the books in the right order, use the code instance to get that book instantly. And tell us what you think.
Yeah. It's only a little bit of mana over there. That's going to do it, everybody, for the show. Big thanks for the email there, Trubaka. You can, or Chewbaka. No, Chewbaka, sorry. TheInstance@gmail.com is where that came from. And again, voicemails can come to us at 801-471-0462. It's going to do it for the show. Let's swing around, everybody, and see what everyone's got going on. Patrick, what's going on in your world? Did you get PSVR? You did, didn't you?
I did, and I was lukewarm until I tried Batman Arkham VR.
He done the cowl. It's
and,
so cool.
Oh, that game was my VR wow moment. I know that everyone has one, and Batman did it for me. I was the Batman.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
Batman.
And, Alfred, I need some extra stuff. Certainly, sir. We'll get you those things right away. And it's just like
I am surprised.
Make me a sandwich while you're at it.
I'm very surprised about that because I felt like that was going to be the big disappointing one because it was we're going to wedge Batman into this and try to make something out of it. And
it's a short experience, but it's really good.
It's very short. It's $20 for 90 minutes. And definitely it doesn't make the $400 PSVR worth it. But being able to, you know, the difference, I'm going to talk about this in pixels. So if you want the full review, listen to it next week and you'll have the entirety of my impressions. But
that's why I brought it up.
The ability. Sorry?
I just said that's why I brought it up, so you could talk about pixels. But go ahead. Yeah, continue on.
Well, okay. So basically, the ability to move around and the ability to have your hands rendered in the game changed everything. If you want to try VR, do not try and sitting down and with a controller. That makes, you know, three quarters of it go away. Get up, use a thing that muddles your hands, and that is when it actually clicks. At least that was my experience. If you want to hear more pixels next week, I will be there. Overwatchers, we discussed the Halloween event in its entirety. It was super fun. And finally, the Phileas Club is a show where I talk about lots of serious topics in a fun way. I spoke to a very conservative Christian member of the Christian South in the last episode, and we had a civil conversation. Mm. And that's what I want to convey with that show. And we did. We you know, I didn't agree with him on many things, but I think it helps to have conversations that are not devolving into screaming matches.
Yeah, screaming matches and dank memes. That's usually what you
get. Shut up, so. You liberal idiot. Sorry.
Libs and Dems.
The screaming matches we have with Sterpser. Ooh, BlizzCon is going to be so amazing.
Oh, I can't wait. By the way, we have the Guildhall, so we'll be doing a live something there. So if you're going to BlizzCon, you might be able to squeeze in there.
Yeah.
Dills, what do you got going on?
Well, first I want to say thank you to everybody who listened to the last show and then went and subbed, even if you don't care about my stream. A lot of people came in and said, hey, I don't really watch Twitch, but I listened to the instance, and I have Amazon Prime, so I subbed to you.
Yeah, it was super cool.
It makes a huge difference, you guys. So, if that's something that doesn't mean anything to you, if you don't care about Twitch, find a small streamer you like, somebody that you like who's you like other stuff they do, and just give them that free money, because these people work really, really hard. Mm. Whether that's me or somebody else, like, go out and keep doing it. It was really, really appreciated. We have 500 subs.
Remember to do it every month, too.
Oh, and you have to do that. I know. That's annoying, kind of, but also kind of cool. But anyway, that's another conversation. Yeah. But we hit 500 subs, so I want to say thank you to everybody for all the support. But check out the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/WillyDozSF.
Nice.
Lots and lots of Hearthstone. And there will be every single day, I'm doing like 15-game try-hard sessions, essentially, where I play like a good deck on the ladder and try really hard to win with it. Mm. And then I'll be breaking that into chunks of 5 games, throwing up on YouTube.
Nice.
So you guys can check those out there if you missed the stream.
Very cool.
Good stuff.
Very cool. Willie Deals SF just Willie Deals on Twitter. I always put the SF.
On Twitter, it's just Willie Deals.
Yep. I don't know why I always stick that in there.
Super confusing and dumb that I have the SF sometimes.
We all do it.
Add it in.
I've got too many dumb names everywhere. Awesome. Terpster, anything with you? We're doing new lore stuff coming up, so people quit.
They've announced Chronicles 2. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be coming out in a couple of months or a month or so. So there's going to be all new definitive canon will be released. But obviously up until then, we've got so much stuff already to talk through. Mm. So we're going to sit down sometime soon. I think, Scott, we're going to have to stop doing hypothetical help. It's just getting in the way. That's a sad thing, isn't it? It's that we've run the Patreon. People are like, you know what? I don't really care.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
Yeah.
So I think
we have gotten so much positive response to that lore episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
so I think it would be good. I'd like to, I think if we're going to do it again, we should do it properly and just make sure it's good.
Yeah.
Equally, if you guys have questions about stuff we talked about or stuff you're unsure about, that'd be cool. Just send them into the email and we'll try and bake that in, because I think that would be a nice thing to have in there. Mm-hmm. Because I listened back to it and I was like, oh, I said that wrong. Oh, and that's really confusing how I said that. Yeah. So I think I'll try and, start each episode with, corrections from the last one.
Yeah.
And when we're like, 6 episodes in, most of the episode will be corrections from the previous 5. But I kind of feel like we'll get there in the end.
Yeah.
Thanks for all
the
great feedback.
So you accept corrections. Do you accept like a request for retraction if one of the characters isn't satisfied with the way you've characterized their character?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They should call in, leave a voicemail as Vol'jin or whatever and have it retracted.
Yeah. Okay.
This spirit's been telling me that Sylvanas be the best war chief, man. What you trying to say about Sylvanas?
Oh, by the way.
The Lord themselves told me what you trying to say, brother.
Let me tell you something about him. So the voice actor is the guy who does the narration in the Overwatch Halloween thing. So that's kind of
cool.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Same dude, which is
cool.
Does
he say anything about whether or not the Loa that he heard were actually the Loa? Or were they old gods whispering corruption, trying to force Sylvanas into the position of war chief?
We'll never know. We're never going to know.
There's so many mysteries.
Never gonna know. So watch for more of that coming up. Follow him on Twitter at
the trolls don't normally get burnt, and yet we burnt him. But maybe the dark spear they're into cremation. We just don't know.
We don't know. Who knows?
We need more chronicles. We need more books.
Nobody knows. Real quick here. If you are into Heroes of the Storm, this Tuesday we have a big show coming up on the Core at frogpants.com/core, where we are discussing Samuro, the Blade Master. I always get his name wrong. Samuro. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
He's there. He's coming. And the Brawl thing's on the PTR, so lots to talk about there. So check that out, frogpants.com/core. That's going to do it for us. The show is at instance.net, rather theinstance.net. You can also follow us on Twitter at Instant Show. Scott Johnson, Willie Dales, the underscore T, and not Patrick. More shows just like this at frogpants.com. Go check them out. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Patrick, for Dills, and for Terpster. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Pandaren Chef is cooking up a mellowing meal. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. As we reported to you recently, the new Master Chef in Dalaran has developed quite a reputation for preparing highly overcooked meals, much to the displeasure of weary adventurers looking for a bite to eat. But our investigations have now uncovered another angle to the story. Part of the Pandaren's contract with the Kirin Tor specifies that he will provide new recipes for meals that will enhance the ability for heroes to fight the Legion. But Odien has discovered that Mr. Nomi is spending the majority of his time on a recipe commission from the court of Ferondus. After centuries spent as ghosts, these elves are pretty high-strung, so he is working on an omelet that is not only tasty, but has calming properties. Starting with hippogriff eggs, the recipe includes tender aethryl leaves, bear meat, and flaky fillet of cursed queenfish. But the secret ingredient is just enough ancient mana from Suramar to act as an anti-anxiety agent. A single serving at breakfast leaves the diner with a very mellow, no-worries attitude toward the rest of the day. The omelet should also be available soon in Dalaran, so if you're stressed out about facing demons, be sure to start your day with Chef Nomi's delicious Azuna Frittata. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.